Okay, continuing our series on the book of Daniel. Liars, leaders, and lions. Dr. Guthrie wrote, "There was a British regiment once ordered to charge a body of French cuirassiers, that is, cavalry soldiers. The trumpets sounded, and away they went boldly at them, but not to victory. They broke like a wave that launches itself against a rock. They were sacrificed to a trader's fraud, forged not of truest steel, but worthless metal. Their swords bent double at the first stroke. What could human strength or the most gallant bravery do against such odds? They were slaughtered like sheep on field. And ever since I read that tragedy, I've thought I would not go to battle unless my sword was proved." The slaughter of the British regiment was tragic news to Dr. Guthrie. Just as the British regiment fell, the Babylonian kingdom fell the very night after Daniel had been promoted by Belshazzar. However, the new regime did not purge the previous administration, even though they slew Belshazzar. At least some of the conquered leaders were incorporated into the new administration. Note, although Nebuchadnezzar had assimilated Jewish captives into the leadership of his government, cross-reference to Daniel chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 21, it would have been highly unusual for a nation to keep officials from a land he had just conquered and allow them to retain positions of authority. Roman numeral 1, the position of Daniel. The position of Daniel. And letter A, placed as a president. Placed as a president. Daniel chapter 6 verses 1 to 2 reads, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage." When Darius began his reign, he organized his realm with three presidents serving under him and 120 princes, protectors or satraps serving under them. Darius selected Daniel to be one of the presidents. Undoubtedly, Darius had carefully checked into Daniel's background before he made this choice. Unquestionably, God directed in the choice. Yeah. The reason for this organizational structure was that the king should have no damage, verse 2, meaning that he wanted no financial loss. He obviously wanted to have a prosperous rule. He needed trustworthy men like Daniel. Who is this Darius the Mede who seems to steal the show from Cyrus the Persian emperor, named in Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 44:28 and 45:1? In Daniel chapter 9 verse 1, Darius is called the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Despite this information, mystery still surrounds his true identity. Although there's uncertainty as to the identity of Darius, he is likely the man called Gubaru in ancient Persian records. For example, John C. Wickham has no doubt that Gubaru and Darius are the same person in the book of Daniel. Cyrus the Persian, Daniel 6:28, who was king over the entire empire, appointed Gubaru as ruler over the realm of the Chaldeans, which was the Babylonian region of the Medo-Persian Empire. Gubaru, that is Darius, assumed the position of de facto king over this vast territory. This Darius is not to be confused with the later Persian king Darius the Great, 521 to 485 BC. For us who believe every word of the Bible is true, Darius is Darius. So let's go from here. Not only was Daniel placed as a president, he was, let it be, preferred over other presidents. Preferred above other presidents. Someone said, I knew I was getting old when a thief broke into my car and stole my tape deck, but left my tapes behind. The tape deck was preferred over the tapes. Theft-proof music. Similarly, Daniel was preferred above other presidents. Verse 3 reads, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Because of Daniel's excellent spirit, he distinguished himself above all the other officials chosen. Darius obviously appreciated Daniel's commendable attitude. Why is a person with good testimony often attractive to employers? A person with strong testimony will work hard, conduct himself with honesty, and show loyalty. Employers look for these characteristics in their employees. Here, may we also learn a lesson for Singapore. Singapore today is a prosperous nation, not so much for emphasis on technology and productivity as in her moral leadership. Thank God for the Prime Minister who has been a living example of integrity to the nation. He can say with Confucius, we are living examples. We govern by virtue. And he can say with Sir Galahad, my strength is as a strength of 10 because my heart is pure. The king planned to restructure his organizational chain of command so that Daniel would be above the two other presidents. The king was creating a new position just for Daniel. Here is the original organizational structure. And here is the proposed revision, the new structure proposed by Darius. Daniel was in his 80s when Darius promoted him. It is obvious that the 62-year-old Darius recognized Daniel's mature wisdom and used him, in contrast to the younger Belshazzar who had overlooked Daniel. Belshazzar was probably in his 40s when he died. But above Darius was the higher hand of God directing, appointing, Proverbs chapter 21 verse 1. In the quote-unquote unfolding drama of redemption, we see how God had put Joseph to rule over Egypt. He made Esther the queen supreme in the Persian court of Ahasuerus. God's kingdom overrides man's kingdom. And God is still on top, even when he giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of man. Daniel chapter 4 verse 17. God is over every communist, atheist country today. God is still working on his purpose, and God can use you or me if he so chooses. So Daniel was preferred above other presidents. But then we have Roman numeral 2, the plot against Daniel. The plot against Daniel. Jealous of Daniel's impending promotion, the other officers sought to remove Daniel from the running. Several considerations likely caused this jealousy. Daniel was a Jew. As Gentiles, they would resent being subordinate to a Jew. Furthermore, not only was Daniel a Jew, but he was also left over from a foreign nation that had taken him from Judah as a mere captive. And he was old. They probably felt that he should retire and let younger men take over. Also, having served in the Babylonian kingdom, his loyalty to Darius, a Mede, was suspect in their eyes. But mostly, each of them just wanted the position for himself. Letter A, the discrediting of Daniel. the discrediting of Daniel. Verses 4 to 5 reads, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." What word in these verses describes why Daniel's rivals could not find a fault in him? What word? Faithful. What was the only thing the man could find a charge against Daniel? By creating a situation in which being loyal to his God would get him into trouble. After Daniel's lifetime of public service, his enemies could find no fault in him. There is no scandal during his long tenure. Since a supervisor is responsible for the mistakes of those who he appoints, it also speaks well of the staff that Daniel had around him. He was not guilty of wrong action or of neglect of duty. They could pinpoint no outward sins of either commission or omission. This testimony from Daniel's enemies confirmed Darius's good judgment in choosing Daniel. Finding no corruption or legitimate complaints against Daniel because he was a man of integrity and ability, his enemies sought to trap him in the worship of his God. The fact that he used this approach is a compliment to Daniel's spirituality and righteous life. Those around him knew his testimony. He was not a silent believer. Daniel must have witnessed to those men, for they knew how to trap him concerning the law of his God. It was because he led such a consistent, godly life that his enemies could frame him. They knew that if they set the trap, Daniel would knowingly spring it himself. They were not interested in changing Daniel. They were interested only in destroying him. Thus there is, letter B, the deception of Darius. The deception of Darius. A man was bothered by his neighbor's chickens invading his yard, sidewalk, drive, and porch. They left quite a mess. So one night he planted a dozen eggs in and around his bushes when the neighbor wasn't looking. Then when the neighbor was looking, he went out with a basket and gathered the eggs. Since then, he never had any trouble with the neighbor's chickens. The man deceived his neighbor. Similarly, Darius was deceived. Verses 6 to 8 reads, "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any man, any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Jealousy leads men to do foolish things. These leaders sought to destroy Daniel by deceiving Darius into signing a decree. Jealousy blinded them to the danger of their deeds. They failed to consider that Darius really liked Daniel. The plot backfired on them. And eventually, as we shall see next week, they were destroyed by the very means they intended for the destruction of Daniel. Likely, the two other presidents took the lead in this devious conspiracy. However, they lied to the king in the opening statement by saying all the presidents had consulted together. Verse 7. Obviously, Daniel, who was one of the presidents, had not consulted in the matter. It is also highly unlikely that all 120 of the princes were involved. The other two presidents revealed the true nature of their hearts by lying to the king. If they succeeded in disposing of Daniel, they probably would have turned on each other in order to eliminate all competition for the elevated appointment. Appealing to the king's ego and pride, the decree read that people were to make all prayer-type requests exclusively to the king for the next 30 days. In ancient times, people often deified their kings, and Darius was flattered that these men should do this for him. The period of 30 days was long enough to be meaningful to Darius, but short enough that it would not limit the desire of these wicked men to worship their own gods. What two words describe the reputation of those who try to take down Daniel? Devious, destructive. Let us see the decree of Darius. The decree of Darius. And so verse 9 reads, "Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Once enacted, the law of the Medes and Persians could not be altered, even by the king. The king's God supposedly inspired him when he made laws. To change a law would be to admit it was a mistake to have the law in the first place. A powerful king would not admit to such a mistake. Darius gave in to the flattery of worship and signed a decree that Daniel's enemies hoped would destroy Daniel. But Daniel's rivals failed to take into account God, whom Daniel so faithfully served as they made their seemingly flawless plan. We have the position of Daniel. We have the plot against Daniel. We have Roman numeral 3, the predicament of Daniel. The predicament of Daniel. Knowing that the decree was signed, and surely aware of the reason behind the decree, Daniel faced another decision. Would he change his religious lifestyle and avoid the trap set for him, or would he maintain his consistent testimony? He did not know at this time that God would deliver him. Yet he considered his continued testimony to be more important than life itself. And he had decided years before to follow God. So Daniel went to his home to pray. Verse 10 reads, "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Although Daniel was a very busy man, he took time out for regular periods of prayer. Should we ever excuse ourselves from prayer because we are too busy? We should never excuse ourselves from obeying God based on how free our schedule is. Is developing a consistent prayer life a matter of time or priority? Priority. We will always make time for those activities that we place high importance on. Daniel could have changed his place of prayer for 30 days and tricked his enemies. He could have reasoned that if he would pray in his office, he could pray more since he would not have to travel to his home. Daniel knelt because it was his custom to do so. He could have changed positions and possibly have thrown off his enemies. But he did as he had done aforetime. Look at verse 10 again. What do you suppose Daniel thanked God for while he was praying in violation to the king's decree? Perhaps he thanked God for his faithfulness and provision. Daniel obviously didn't expect God to stop caring for him. Now, do you think you would have taken time to express thanks to God if you were in Daniel's position? What might have been the focus of your prayer? What might have been the focus of your prayer? We might have complained while praying and questioned God as to why He allowed this to happen. But Daniel had a thankful heart even when facing possible death. 3 times a day, he prayed toward Jerusalem, verse 10. He had specific designated times of prayer. He did not try to fool his enemies by changing his schedule and praying more often. He did as he had always done. Daniel's practice of praying to the temple was rooted in Old Testament scripture, 1 Kings 8:35, 2 Chronicles 6:36-40, and Psalm 5, verse 7. Note, however, that he was praying toward a temple which had been destroyed some 50 years earlier. The former schedule of temple worship still governed Daniel's days, although he was now an aged man in Medo Persia. Evidently, he had done so for the roughly 70 years he had spent in government service in the land of his captivity. His devotion allowed him to face such threats without anxiety or fear. The position of Daniel, the plot against Daniel, and the predicament of Daniel. Daniel remained true to God by praying to him even though it could have cost him his life. King Darius made praying to his God illegal. Everyone in the kingdom was to pray only to the king. The story is told of a country church in China in the days of the Cultural Revolution under Mao Zedong. The fiery Red Guards, mostly young people in their teens and early 20s, came into this church and set up a portrait of Mao prominently on the wall above the pulpit. It was tantamount to demanding for the communist leader's worship. Who ever dared to bring down that new idol above Jesus, their Lord? Oh, the agony that surged within the faithful pastor of the congregation. Filled with a burning and daring spirit from above, that night he climbed a ladder to bring down Mao's portrait. As he did so, he said to himself, "If Christ's picture is not there, why should Mao's?" He smashed it into smithereens, but he was no fool to stay on and be killed. Remembering the words of the Savior in Matthew chapter 10, verse 23, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another." He slipped away the same night by train to Guangzhou. From there, the Lord smuggled him safely across the border to Hong Kong. He had to leave wife and children for Jesus' sake. This is the reason why the true Church of Jesus Christ in China has gone underground. For the so-called three self-churches are communist-controlled churches who toe every line of anti-Christian communist ruling. For example, it's forbidden of pastors to preach from Revelation. One who refused to bow the knee to Mao in the very beginning was sentenced to life imprisonment for his stand. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. Minds innocent and quiet take that for an hermitage. That is the dwelling of a hermit. Coming back to Daniel, he had good reasons to hide his prayer habits. His life was on the line, but he stood for what was right. His wonderful testimony of devotion to God should encourage us to stand for the Lord, even in little things, like asking God to bless a meal when we are with unbelievers. Daniel was a light in his world. His testimony was uncompromising and strong. His choice to be a bright light for God should encourage us to do the same. Let's pray.